Tonight, the heartbreaking images coming in at this hour. The little girl saved, but the crucial window closing now nearly 72 hours after the earthquake. Also tonight, the heckling at the State of the Union and Mitt Romney telling George Santos, you don't belong here. And the severe storms we're watching right now, the tornado watches, and then this all moves into the Northeast. First tonight, the staggering death toll soaring. More than 12,000 people killed in the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. Tonight, we have learned three Americans are among the victims. The heartbreaking images, the bodies of eight family members, including six children, pulled from a collapsed home. Search and rescue teams working around the clock. The young girl pulled out alive, and news tonight on that newborn baby born in the rubble. Ian Pannell in Turkey tonight. Back here in the U.S., President Biden tonight in Wisconsin and his reaction to the heckling in the chamber during the State of the Union. The moment he had Democrats and Republicans standing to preserve Medicare and Social Security. Mary Bruce at the White House. Also, that tense exchange before the address even started. Senator Mitt Romney with harsh words for embattled Congressman George Santos, who made up much of his life story before getting elected. Tonight, George Santos saying it wasn't very Mormon of him about Romney. And Mitt Romney explaining why he felt the need to say something. Rachel Scott, live on the Hill. As we come on the air tonight, we are tracking severe storms and a tornado watch right now. Alerts across 20 states. Wind gusts topping 50 miles per hour. Then the system moving into the Northeast in the next 24 hours. Rob Marciano timing it out. For the first time tonight, the Pentagon confirming four previous Chinese spy balloons have flown over the U.S. Martha Raddatz standing by tonight on where they were, what they flew over, and when. Tonight, the Alec Murdoch trial, charged with killing his wife and son, and why the courthouse was suddenly evacuated today. The interviews right here tonight and the chilling details of abuse. The father, who authorities say moved into his daughter's college dorm, now facing 60 years in prison for assaulting and terrorizing her classmates and friends. Lindsay Davis tonight speaking with two of the victims. President Zelensky at his surprise visit today and what he asked for, the emotional plea. And the king of the court, LeBron James, making history, and what he told our Michael Strahan.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Wednesday night. We are just back from Washington and President Biden's State of the Union address, the president's reaction tonight to all that heckling, and that moment between Mitt Romney and George Santos. Also, the severe storms hitting at this hour, the tornado watch right now, we'll get to it. But we begin tonight with the desperate search for survivors after the devastating earthquake in Turkey and Syria. And tonight, the reality setting in. Authorities say the window to find anyone alive could be closing nearly 72 hours later now and facing bitter cold. The death toll tonight staggering, more than 12,000 dead. And tonight, we have learned three Americans are among the victims. Still today, rescues, news on a little girl saved. And we've learned more tonight about that baby born in the rubble. And take a look this evening, the stunning damage near the epicenter of the earthquake in Turkey, building after building toppled or flattened, and you can see right into the buildings there. Survivors huddling by campfires in the shadow of destroyed homes, waiting for word on the missing. Rescuers in Idlib, Syria, working, digging with their hands there. Eight members of an extended family of Syrian refugees, the youngest just 6 months old, all buried in the rubble. At the scene, the grief on the face of this man holding a little girl, shedding her own quiet tears there. Still a moment of hope today, members of the Syrian White Helmets again able to pull a little girl out alive, rushing her to an ambulance. ABC's chief foreign correspondent Ian Pannell leading us off. He's in Turkey tonight.
As another freezing night sets in, hopes are fading tonight of finding many more survivors in the rubble. The most critical time for rescue, the first 72 hours, now closing. Today, the State Department confirming three Americans are among the more than 12,000 people killed. There are no miracles for this family, just destruction and death. Refugees from Syria. They fled war to seek safety in Turkey. Then came the earthquake. Today, seven members of one extended family were pulled from the rubble, killed where they slept. The youngest, six-week-old baby Lajayan. One boy still missing as family members scramble through the debris.
What's happening now is that they're basically using the digger to try and pull away as much rubble as possible. Then the men are going forward and they're looking down underneath the basement, literally crawling between the floors to try and find a spot where the little boy is. At the moment, though, still no sign.
Eventually, the boy's bedroom is unearthed. But there are few happy endings here. Samir has lost his wife and now a third child. The limp body of two-year-old Mahed is brought from the dust of what used to be his home, swaddled in a blanket and driven unceremoniously on a motorbike to be buried. There's no dignity in death here. Still, rescuers refuse to give up hope. Across the border in Syria, almost no international help. But in Jandaris, members of the White Helmet Rescuers discovering this little girl trapped, but alive. She's one of the very few safely evacuated to the hospital. And tonight, we've learned the newborn baby, rescued from the rubble 10 hours after the quake hit, is now in a stable condition. A relative confirming she was the only member of her immediate family to survive. Her mother giving birth under the rubble, giving one new life before losing her own. And in Gaziantep, Turkey, the call for silence. The meticulous efforts to find survivors. Rescuers standing still, listening for voices. ABC's Marcus Moore on the scene.
We've been watching rescuers here. They're trying to reach an 11-year-old boy. He's been in that rubble now for nearly 3 days.
With no response, the search continues tonight as desperation sets in for the survivors left homeless for a third night. These men say, we're suffering. Please, whoever hears us, help us.
Well, the world is watching this unfold. Ian Pannell with us from the disaster zone in Turkey tonight. Ian, I know no one is giving up hope. The world praying for all of these families, but authorities do say that this window to find more survivors could soon be closing.
Yeah, I think that's right. That 72-hour golden period is just about up. I mean, this building behind me is still full of people. Could they be alive? Yes, in theory, that's possible. But the conditions here are really harsh. The weather is below zero. The sheer force of the earthquake means the chances of finding anyone alive almost 3 days since the quake struck are now diminishing. There's hope, there's optimism, but this is now less about rescue and more about recovery. David.
All right. Ian Pannell live in Turkey tonight. Ian, thank you. Back here in the U.S. tonight, President Biden on the road after the State of the Union address. The White House very happy with the speech and reacting to the heckling from some Republicans in that chamber last night. In Madison, Wisconsin, the president telling workers there his economic plan is working, asking, as he did last night, for time to, quote, finish the job. Last night, there were those uncomfortable moments being interrupted and heckled. And, of course, the moment he had Democrats and Republicans all standing together to preserve Medicare and Social Security moving forward. Here's our senior White House correspondent, Mary Bruce, tonight.
In Wisconsin today, President Biden again and again calling out the anger-fueled heckling from Republicans at the State of the Union.
Many of you have seen we've had a spirited debate last night with my Republican friend.
It was rowdy and contentious, Republicans erupting when the president accused them of wanting to cut Social Security and Medicare.
Instead of making the wealthy pay their fair share, some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's a majority. Let me give you, anybody who doubts it, contact my office. I'll give you a copy of the proposal. That means Congress doesn't vote. Well, I'm glad to see you. No, I tell you, I enjoy conversion.
Seeing opportunity in the moment, the president then tried to get Republicans on the record.
So, folks, as we all apparently agree, Social Security and Medicare is off the books now, right? They're not to be stopped. All right. I'm ready. We got unanimity.
At one point, he had Republicans and Democrats nearly all standing to defend Social Security and Medicare, which was his point. Biden urged Republicans to work with him, but instead they repeatedly heckled and jeered. On multiple occasions, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy even shushing his own members. The president speaking directly to the working class, pointing to record low unemployment and waning inflation as proof his policies are working.
We're building an economy where no one's left behind. Jobs are coming back. Pride is coming back because choices we made in the last several years. You know, this is, my view, a blue-collar blueprint to rebuild America and make a real difference in your lives at home.
Repeatedly, he called for the country to stay the course.
Finish the job. Let's finish the job this time. Let's finish the job. We got to finish the job.
Imagine. On the issue of police reform, with Tyree Nichols' parents looking on, Biden was blunt, admitting most in that chamber cannot relate.
Most of us in here have never had to have the talk that brown and black parents have had to have with their children. Just as every cop, when they pin on that badge in the morning, has a right to be able to go home at night, so does everybody else out there. Our children have a right to come home safely.
Applause from Republicans and Democrats on that point, of course, as well. President Biden making the case for police reform, the culture of police training, obviously one of several messages from last night. And Mary, I'm curious tonight, what are your sources at the White House saying privately about the heckling last night and how the president handled it?
Well, inside the White House tonight, David, I can tell you they think that exchange on Social Security and Medicare, the president getting both sides on their feet, that that was one of the strongest moment of the night, and one that will be remembered for years to come. The president today said he did expect to be heckled by some Republicans, but noted that the vast majority of the party did not behave that way. Now, as for Republicans, Speaker Kevin McCarthy today described his members as passionate, but said they need to be smart and not take the bait. David.
All right. Mary Bruce, live at the White House. Mary, thank you for the reporting last night right here with us. And there was another very tense exchange even before the State of the Union started. Senator Mitt Romney with harsh words for embattled Congressman George Santos, who made up much of his life story before he got elected. Romney telling Santos in that chamber, "You don't belong here." Rachel Scott on the Hill tonight.
Tonight, embattled Republican Congressman George Santos firing back at Senator Mitt Romney for confronting him on the House floor.
Look, he's a sick puppy. He shouldn't be there.
Cameras captured Santos angling for a prime spot along the aisle, but Romney wouldn't have it, telling the congressman, "You should be embarrassed. You shouldn't be here."
I didn't expect that he'd be standing there trying to shake hands with every senator and the President of the United States. Given the fact that he's under ethics investigation, he should be sitting in the back row and staying quiet instead of parading in front of the President and people coming into the room.
House Republican leaders have refused to criticize Santos for totally fabricating many details of his life, not Romney.
He says that he embellished his record. Look, embellishing is saying you got an A when you got an A minus. Lying is saying you graduated from a college you didn't even attend. And he shouldn't be in Congress. And if he had any shame at all, he wouldn't be there.
Today, we caught up with Santos.
Can you walk us through what happened with Senator Mitt Romney?
It's not the first time in history that I've been told to shut up and go to the back of the room, especially by people who come from a privileged background. I mean, I think it's reprehensible that the senator would say such a thing to me in the demeaning way he said. It wasn't very Mormon of him. That's what I can tell you.
Mitt Romney's office declined to comment any further, but tonight the senator is standing by his words, insisting that someone like George Santos does not belong in Congress. David.
It's all really something. Rachel Scott live on the Hill tonight. Rachel, thank you. In the meantime, we turn now to that dangerous cross-country storm. Nearly 50 million Americans tonight, 20 states on alert for severe weather, a tornado watch right now. And then the system, our weather team telling us, moving us right into the Northeast. Let's bring in senior meteorologist Rob Marciano tracking it all. He's live in New Orleans for us tonight. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. This has become a very dynamic system to make for a serious tornado threat here in the South. Tornado watches have been expanded, encompassing much of Louisiana up through west of Memphis, back through much of Mississippi. You see the storms bumbling up within those watches. The front itself will push across I-10 and through New Orleans probably by daybreak tomorrow. Cold side of this, we're looking at talking about 5 to 8 inches of snow from Iowa and through Wisconsin. And snow's to start in northern New York and New England, but this is a warm system coming into the Northeast, so we'll be back in the 50s tomorrow and into Friday as well. We could see record-breaking heat in the Northeast on Friday. Meanwhile, here in the South, our very active severe weather season in this winter continues. David?
Rob Marciano, our thanks to you as always. Now to the Chinese spy balloon and what the Pentagon officially acknowledged today. 4 other Chinese spy balloons have flown over the U.S. Let's get straight to ABC's chief global affairs correspondent, Martha Raddatz, back on this tonight. Martha, what have you learned?
David, for the first time from the Pentagon briefing room, we heard confirmation that a Chinese spy balloon had flown over 4 sensitive sites within the U.S. territories in recent years. A senior U.S. official had told me those sites were near naval bases in Coronado, California, Norfolk, Virginia, and Hawaii, all of those spy missions were undetected at the time and only discovered later through intelligence analysis. The official said the Chinese have a fleet of these balloons, and they transited 5 continents and 40 countries spying on military and sensitive facilities. And just moments ago, President Biden asked whether relations between the U.S. and China had taken a big hit. Biden answering no, but adding that he has not spoken to President Xi since the U.S. shot down the spy balloon. David?
Martha Raddatz again tonight. Thank you, Martha. We turn next tonight to the case making national headlines. The father who authorities say abused and manipulated his daughter's classmates and others, even staying in his daughter's dorm at Sarah Lawrence College. Tonight, hear the chilling details of the abuse. That father is now facing 60 years in prison, and two of his victims are now speaking out. To our Lindsay Davis.
Tonight, we're hearing from two of the victims of Lawrence Ray, the father convicted of manipulating and terrorizing his daughter's friends.
Why didn't you leave?
I was so scared. He wouldn't let me sleep. He controlled what I was eating. He would yell at me. He would beat me. He took away everything that made me me.
Ray was imprisoned on crimes of extortion, sex trafficking, racketeering, and conspiracy, among other charges. In 2010, he crashed at his daughter's dorm at Sarah Lawrence College in New York, gaining the trust of her friends, later moving to New York City, where prosecutors say he sexually, physically, and psychologically abused them. Daniel Levin says Ray hit him with a sledgehammer, held his tongue with pliers, and subjected him to sexual humiliation, saying he acted like a cult leader.
People find themselves in abusive relationships, and I was convinced that if I was uncomfortable, if something felt bad to me, that that was because of something that was wrong with me.
Felicia Rosario, who did not attend Sarah Lawrence, met Ray through her brother and started a romantic relationship with him. She says Ray emotionally manipulated and abused her.
Please help me!
What were you feeling in that moment?
I don't remember. I've blocked it out, and there's so many holes in my memory. But it's hard for me to watch, like, wow, that's horrible what he's doing to her. But it's she, not me.
At what point did you decide enough?
I didn't. The FBI came. The FBI came and arrested him, thankfully. It took them coming to get him for me to be able to even consider having a life again.
And Lindsay Davis with us here tonight. All of this is so alarming to hear. And a lot of people at home, I would think, would be so puzzled as to why no one on campus seemed to know this father was living in his daughter's dorm.
Sarah Lawrence College says they did not know at the time. They said that when these crimes happened, he was not living on campus. But last month, the 63-year-old was sentenced to 60 years behind bars, effectively a life sentence, David.
All right, Lindsay Davis with us here tonight. Lindsay, thank you. And Daniel and Felicia speaking out here. They're also featured in the docuseries Stolen Youth that launches tomorrow on Hulu. And then next week, much more of Lindsay's interview on Impact by Nightline, also streaming on Hulu next Thursday. When we come back here on the news tonight, we have news on President Zelensky this evening, his surprise trip, his emotional plea tonight, and then the unexpected moment here in the U.S. today at the Alec Murdoch trial, charged with killing his wife and son, why the courthouse was suddenly evacuated.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems, it's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/tonight.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky visiting London, making a plea for fighter jets in Westminster Hall, presenting the Speaker of Parliament with a Ukrainian pilot's helmet. President Zelensky meeting with King Charles, himself a trained military pilot. Zelensky saying the king is an Air Force pilot, and in Ukraine today, every Air Force pilot is a king. When we come back, that startling moment at the Alec Murdoch trial today.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, tonight, the sudden evacuation during the trial of Alec Murdoch, a bomb threat at the courthouse. A caller claiming there was a bomb in the judge's chambers. Murdoch, accused of murdering his wife and son, rushed away in a van. No device was found. The trial has resumed. When we come back tonight, LeBron James with Michael Strahan on Making History. Finally tonight here, the king of the court making history. LeBron James with our Michael Strahan.
LeBron James, a shot at history.
It's a record many thought would never be broken. But LeBron James changed that last night.
What does that mean to you?
I've had goals throughout my whole career, you know, on the court. I never, ever was like, I want to break the all-time scoring record. It's never, ever been a thought of mine. And the fact that I'm like literally right here, it's mind-blowing.
And what do you want your legacy to be?
I want my legacy to be that all my teammates and the people that played against me know I played the game the right way, and I competed at a high level. I never cheated the game. I never cheated the process. But for me, off the floor, I think me having my own school in my hometown, me inspiring kids all over the world, being active in politics at times or social justice, those are the things that I hope people talk about as well, because those are things that last forever.
Breaking a record, nearly 40 years old. Congrats, LeBron, and thanks, Michael. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.